Dear loving Father, we thank you for this day and its many blessings. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you have given us to be here this evening to study your word. I pray, dear Father, that you'll be with those that were mentioned for those that have been mentioned. We pray for Father that you'll be with them and be with the caregivers that's been with them, Father. And pray that you'll be with each and every one of us, Father, all of whatever challenges we face, whatever things we're going through. And pray, Father, that you'll watch over us and guide us through this life. We love you and we thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, tonight's topic, and we've had some really good ones, and it's interesting. We know these, but yet we bring out more stuff each time we, talk about it, and each time somebody has a topic. And my topic tonight is I am light. And I put a lot of study in this, and I'm actually kind of proud of it. And if you would want any of my notes, they are spelt right because I use spell check. So if you do want any of my notes, I'll be more than happy to make them, print off some copies for you. But the very first thing I want to ask you, Genesis 1:3, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Does that have anything to do with what we're talking about tonight? I am light. No.
Jesus was already.
Mm-hmm. The reason why I said that is because that's when we started. That's when our life on earth started. Back in that time. And we fast forward now to the New Testament. We fast forward up to the New Testament now where we're now talking about Jesus and light. No, it doesn't have anything to do with it, but that was our beginning on this earth. And we've seen a lot of things happen in the Old Testament. And I feel necessary to bring this out because at the St. Joe Church of Christ, we would use the Old Testament for reference, but we basically just stayed in the New Testament all the time. But when I come up here and the teachers are teaching, talking about the Old Testament, I got a new understanding of just exactly just how much was going on in the Old Testament to bring us up where we are today in the New Testament. You know, it's like the death and the things that had to be done to bring us up where we are. And that's why that the Old Testament is our history. That's why we use it like we do and talk about it, because it shows, things that we read in the Old Testament are in the New Testament. You know, and there's 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. So that shows you that man could not have created something like this. It had to come from God. But what does it mean? What did Jesus mean when he said, "I am the light of the world"? What did he mean? You can come up here and sit right beside me, buddy, if you want to. I don't care. Come on up.
Come on.
What's that?
I don't want to ruin your punchline from the beginning.
Huh?
Well, it's funny because when I was thinking about what I was going to say tonight, I was actually at first going to talk about this. I had no idea that this was the subject I was going to talk about. The light night changed to something else that was on my mind. But what I was going to say is, Jesus is the light. I am the light of life. He is the light of the world. Mm-hmm. And also, Jesus in John 1 is the Word, mm-hmm. the Word of God, the living embodiment of the Word of God. And we're also told that the Word is the light. And David talks about, that the Word lights his path and so on. So mm-hmm. it's all together.
That's good. What I had wrote down here says, in declaring himself to be the light of the world, Jesus was claiming that he was the exclusive source for spiritual light. No other source of spiritual light was available to mankind. Jesus is it. Jesus was it. And what we're going to do tonight, we're going to look at several scriptures, and everything in it pertains to what we're talking about here. And in the scriptures, we're going to be looking in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. That's why I thought if you do want a copy of these, I'd be more than happy to get you a copy of them. But the very first one is in Psalms 119, 105. It says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. God is saying here, God is saying, God's word is light, that is a guide for living. And in the light refers to understanding. Understanding. We look down in Matthew, the 4th chapter, verse 16, it says, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, the light has dawned. What's that verse talking about there? What's that verse mean? It basically is telling us that there is a great need for light from God and deliverance from the fear of death. Man are afraid to die. Jesus brought freedom from that fear of death. Are we afraid to die?
Shouldn't be. Not if you're a Christian.
Exactly. Exactly. Nobody. I mean, I don't really want to, you know, I could just drop over dead tonight. But, you know, nobody wants to die. But if we're living right with God, it shouldn't really matter.
There's no problem. Death, where is your sting? Yep. It doesn't sting us anymore.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I mean, there was a great need for the light. Yep. I'm trying to think where I'm at here. Yeah, what I have wrote down here, the darkness. Did I say Matthew 4 already? Okay. Okay. Down now. Let's go down to Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 16. It says, "In the same way, let our light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." What is that talking about?
That light means the goodness, the things in your life, the good deeds you've done, the good things that you do for others.
Mm-hmm. We have to be the example. We have to be the example. I mean, and each and every one of us sitting here tonight are here because we want to be. We're here because this is where we feel we need to be. And we need to reach out to those that are not here. We need to reach out and talk to them. We need to be an example for them. Like I've said before, my neighbor asked me one day if I was a preacher. I said no. But he realizes that I leave for church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. He knows where I'm going because it's like clockwork. Everybody knows where we're going when we leave. We need to talk to them people. But you know, that's where our challenge is. How do you talk to people that don't want to listen? That's where the challenge is. I mean, I tried to talk to a lady one time. She said, I don't want to talk about it. She said, I know I'm okay. So you don't want to offend them. You don't want to upset them. You don't want to make them mad in any way like this, but by us living like this, Matthew 5:16 is telling us, we are an example, so we need to continue to be that example. Don't do the things the world does and be there for other people and help people out and do things for people. And maybe something will be said or something done that people will realize. You know, this lady says, I'm fine. You know, they go to the Methodist church. They're fine. She does, gets up and gives the announcements. You know, and it's like they don't read their Bible. They don't read their Bible to see that because we're told in the Bible what we're supposed to do. But people just don't do it. John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And what I have here, it says, even though Jesus came as a source of light and lived for the people, darkness tried to put out the light, but failed. But failed. No matter how people treated Jesus, no matter how people act, God's plan went through. God's plan for His Son to be on this earth and to die on this earth for us, so that we have a chance of everlasting life, was completed. man is not going to overcome good with evil, because it's not going to happen. I mean, do we agree with that? Most definitely. I mean, it's just not going to happen. We go on down now to John 8:12. It says, Jesus spoke again to the people. He said, I am the light of this world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's a promise from God. That's a promise from God that if we walk the way we're supposed to, and we're Christians, and we put this place first before the world, coming here and learning and being the Christian, we're guaranteed a place in heaven. But it's up to each individual person to search out their own soul salvation and ask themselves, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Because we only have one chance at this. We only have one chance. We're not going to get a second chance. So we have to realize what our priorities are. Where does our priorities lie? And walking in the light, and just like I just read here, darkness, you know, you'll be the light of life. The light of life. You follow with Jesus. You're walking with Jesus. We go over now to 1 John 1:5-7. This is a message we have heard from Him and declared to you. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we are fellowshipping with Him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. And there's more here, but I want to stop right there. If we pretend to be something we're not fooling God. We might fool people, but we're not fooling God. That's why it's so important to be sincere about what we do. It's why it's so important for us to focus on the things it's supposed to be focused on, and that's God. Everything else will fall into place. We can't allow ourselves to fall into this category. And what this verse is saying here in 5-7, it says, one of the most important messages that this letter has for us is God is light, righteousness. God is righteousness. So Christians must walk in the light. This is what we are doing when we follow the truth of our Father who gives us, who has given to us. As Christians, we do not walk in darkness or sin, because in the light we live in the way of God. We have to put God first no matter what. Each individual person here tonight, if everybody here tonight would have brought one person with them, we'd had twice as many people here. Which, you know, that's about the best I can do with math, but anyway, but you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? If everybody would have brought one person, we'd had twice as many people here tonight. If everybody on Sunday morning would bring one person, we probably wouldn't have room in the building back here. That's what it's all about. You know, Jesus walked the earth in his time. Now it's our turn. It's our time to reach out. It's our turn to reach out and reach out to people and find out why they're not here, why they're not coming. Have Bible studies with people, talk with people, so that they can walk in the light as well as we do. In Psalms 28:1, it said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I fear? I'm going to ask you a question. Should we fear God? Should we be walking through life a little bit, maybe a little bit fearful?
Perfect love drives out fear. And fear used in the Bible often means respect.
Mm-hmm.
Fear
That's what
has
it.
To do with punishment.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, fear, basically, a little note that I have here, fear being afraid means to be confident. It means to be confident. Or like what what he said. But I think myself, I think if we get too comfortable in our religion, that's when we're going to let our guard down. I feel myself, I need to feel a little bit afraid so it keeps me focused. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you get too comfortable in your religion, you're going to let your guard down. You're going to find, I feel that, now this is me, okay? I feel that if I'm getting too comfortable in my religion, I may sway one way or another, but if I have a little bit of fear, okay, and have, you know, and I think it helps me to be more focused on, you know, man, I hope I didn't do this wrong. I hope I didn't do this. Of course.
We don't want to displease God.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's what I'm talking about. I mean, because there's only one way, you know, you're either going to make it or you're not. And hell is where you'll end up, you know. And we can read what that means, too, in the Bible. It tells exactly what hell's going to be like. But how do you get that to the people? How do you get that to people that don't say, I'm fine? I don't need to talk to you about it. All this does is leads to fighting. How many times have we heard that? And how many times have we been seen people having arguments about religion?
I think here on earth, your father, you figure you got away with something. He didn't find out you did something wrong. You got away with it. But our Father in heaven knows everything. You don't get away with anything.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. I mean, like we said here a few weeks back, you know, he knows each every person in here and how many hairs you have on your head. He knows us better than we know ourselves because it's amazing. It's just amazing. But yet people just don't understand. Let's go on because I could just talk about this right here forever, but John 12:35 through 34 says, and Jesus told them, you are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of the light. When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. Even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. And what I have here as a note for this verse is Jesus urged them to walk in the light they still had. To reject the light is to go into darkness. Obedient faith in the light would make them sons of light. People in whom light would be seen. When Jesus finished speaking, he went away. His public speaking was over. In this particular verse in John 12:35 through 34, this was Jesus' last time to really do any speaking because Jesus was heading to the cross. And just like we had mentioned in the pulpit here the other day, you know, Jesus was afraid. He said, let it be, you know, your will, not my will. Because Jesus knew, Jesus was afraid, but he knew it had to be done. Jesus urged them, like I said, he urged them, and that's what this is saying, he urged them to walk in the light. To reject the light would be darkness. Obedient faith and light would make them sons of the light. People in whom lives would, or their lives would seen. When Jesus finished speaking, he went away, okay? The verse I want to bring out is verse 37, is because it said, in verse 37, John had discussed the Jews' unbelief. The miraculous signs of Jesus were done in order to cause them to believe. We, sitting here tonight, we have a lot of faith, okay? We have faith in God because what we read. These people seen Jesus do actual, what? Mike, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay.
Okay. But I forget where I was going. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. Gail threw her hand up, so it's like it's her fault. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. But I still like the feeling of having a little bit of fear because that makes me stay focused. So that helps me. But like I said, in John, what it says here, you know, people seen him, seen what he did. People seen him bring people back to life, see the lame to walk, the blind to see. But they would not believe. But here we are today, sitting here tonight. All we have is the Scripture, but we believe it. We trust what we're reading here is being the truth. Can you imagine what our faith would be like if Jesus, we seen Jesus come here and bring somebody back to life? Can you imagine what kind of faith we would have? It would be mind-boggling. We think we have faith now, and all we have is the words. But we trust that what we read are the right words. We trust that you know, someone asked me one time, well, what if there isn't a God? I said, what if there isn't? What's wrong with living a good life? What's wrong with doing the best you can that way? And if there is a God, maybe you have a chance to get there. We go over into Luke, the 11th chapter, verse 34 through 35. It says, your eye is the lamp of my body. And your eyes are healthy. Your whole body also is full of light. But when you are unhealthy, your body also is full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not dark. Now what this verse here is saying, it says, an eye that is healthy describes a spiritual health, healthy way of looking at things. A bad eye or evil way of looking at things results in a life full of moral and spiritual darkness. I don't know how much time do I have? Please tell me not a half hour yet. Okay. All right. Because I'm running out of material. So. But anyway, moving on, what this verse is telling us, I think I may have already said, I'll say it again, but in this verse, the eye is the healthy description of the spiritual health, healthy way of living. The bad eye is an evil way of looking at things, results in a full life of moral and spiritual darkness. And I guess it's all right to repeat that because that's what it's talking about. That's what it means here. I mean, we have to stay focused. We have to stay focused. If we're going to be Christians, let's be Christians. If we're going to strive for heaven, let's do what the Bible tells us to do. Everyone sitting here tonight knows that, but the ones that's not here tonight evidently have a problem with that. That's why it's so important to reach out to them. That's why it's so important to get the message out and talk to people and get with them. James 1:17, it says, every good work or every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shade due to change. Okay? And what this verse is telling us, that every gift from God is good because God is good. God does not give His children gifts which are harmful or bad. The Father of light, God, does not change, even though the world about Him does change. God is always the same. The light, such as the sun and the moon, changes. The God who made the light does not change. We can never give both. He can never give good and bad gifts. God is positive. God is all about good. God is all about us wanting to get to heaven. We all pray that our children would grow up and be Christians. And I'm blessed to have my girls grow up and be Christians. Now, Amy's husband is not a Christian. But what makes me so proud of Amy is she still comes. She brings the kids. because it's challenging for her, because she's always having to struggle. He's never, you know, Ryan has never said to her, "You can't go." He's never said that. But when he's doing something, she's going, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. So I'm proud of both of my girls. I'm proud of I'm proud of Mom for bringing me up in the church. You know, there was a time in my life where I had to make sure, because I'm thinking there's all these different things. When I turned 18, I said, "I'm not going no more." And I visualized, you know, at that time that hurt them. I didn't realize it. But I know, I look back on that now and I think to myself, what if my girls would have said that to me? How would I have felt? And it's just, you know, it's just mind-boggling. When you're young, you think you're invincible. You think you can do anything. But we need to realize that we don't know when God is coming back. We don't know when Jesus is coming back, I should say. We don't know. We may not even have the opportunity to make things right if we are living wrong. But we may not have the opportunity. Oh, I know. I know exactly. And that's why it hurt me so much when I realized that, how I did that when I turned 18. I was on my own. You tell me what to do.
But how it hurts, you know, God now when we,
exactly,
when we do that.
Exactly.
We reject Him.
And look how many people out there. Look how many millions and millions of people out there are living in sin. Compared to Christians, I mean, it's mind, you know, it's just unbelievable. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, it says, "But you are the chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not the people, but now you are God's people. Once you had no mercy, but now you do." What's that talking about? What's that verse mean? Basically, what that verse is telling us is Christians are priests. God uses similar words about the Israelites, okay? A priest is one who explains the things of God to other people, okay? Israel failed to be the king of the kingdom of priests that God wanted. Now we are God's chosen priests of the world. Our sacrifices are spiritual. These include praise to God, our lives, offering to help God's work, and our prayer. It is though Jesus, the high priest, that there was acceptance to God. We know the story that, you know, God, the chosen race was the Jews. The Jews did not live their life, did not want to do that. So we're Gentiles. We're Gentiles, and we're the ones now are the priests. Each and every one of us. We need to talk to other people. We need to reach out to the world. Jesus walked on this earth and He did what He had to do. He did what He had to do. Didn't want to, but He did. Now it's up to us. Now it's up to us to reach out. Now it's up to us to be that shining light for people to come and find out what God is all about and what Jesus is all about. My last... I wish you'd stop that. Revelations 21, 23. "And in the city there is no need for sun and moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb." And what this verse is simply saying is the city has no need for the sun or the moon on it. God's glory gives it light, and the Lamb is the lamp of the city. We have a mission that we're going to work on. We're going to try to reach out to people. We're going to try to talk with everybody. Hey, everybody, that sounded odd. But we each have an obligation. We have an obligation to God. We have an obligation to Jesus. We need to try to do our very best to be the Christian that God wants us to be, so we can walk in the light. That's my study for this evening, and I hope that it was beneficial. I thought I seen your hand go up. This is my lesson for this evening. So let's have a prayer. Dear loving Father, again we thank you for allowing us to be here this evening to study your word and to realize, Father, that Jesus walked this earth and he was the light. Dear Father, we thank you for all you have given us. We thank you, Father, for your word, and we pray, Father, that we'd apply it to our lives and strive to be the Christian that you would want us to be. We pray, dear Father, that each of us will search out our own soul salvation and plan on someday being with you. We pray, Father, that you'll guide us through the rest of this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.